You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Church, please show me your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, a very familiar passage this time of year. The title of today's message is Organic Thankfulness. The story's told of an atheist who was walking through the woods one day, and he was just admiring the beauty of evolution and how these trees sprung up and animals and a world that it's knit itself together through time and chance. And when he was admiring these woods, he saw a bear coming at him at a very quick pace, and he began to run as fast as he could, but the bear kept gaining ground, and every time he looked, the bear was closer, and until the bear was finally on him after he had tripped, and the bear had grabbed its paw, its massive paw, to take a swipe at him, and he knew that would be the end of him. And the atheist called out to God and said, "God, help!" He said, "The wind stopped blowing, and the river stopped flowing for a moment. There was a light that seemed to shine down from heaven. And the man knew that he was in the presence of God. And so he said, "God, I know that I've always denied your existence, and I feel wrong asking you for help at this time. So instead of doing something for me, could you maybe make this bear a Christian? And then I can be okay. So the light sort of dissipated. The river began to flow. The wind began to blow again, and the bear that had his hand in mid-swipe sat down, put his hands together, and said, "Thank you, Lord, for the meal I'm about to receive." Every store that you go to nowadays has organic food, right? And organic food is supposed to mean that there's no chemicals, there's no pesticides on it, and it's supposed to be better for you. Whether you believe all that, that's entirely up to you, but that is what they market it for. It's supposed to be all natural, right? It's organic. It's the way it was supposed to be grown and the way it was designed. You see, true thankfulness is not manufactured. It is the combination and the culmination of a life of knowing Jesus. So today in our passage, I want to take a little break from our big question series, which we've been going through for a couple of weeks, and we'll go through for just a couple of weeks longer. But today we're going to be looking at thankfulness. So let's see how thankfulness flows from the child of God. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. So read along with me. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and then he's talking about Jesus. And he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Or a really better translation is, "Your faith has saved you." So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the mercy that you've given us, Lord, the grace that we do not deserve. We thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you'd teach us about you in this passage today. And as we learn about you, Lord, help us to learn how to treat other people. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me today. Or that I would decrease, Lord, and that you would increase. And God, that you would move in our hearts and remind us of how much we have to be thankful for. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, we see how mercy is connected to thankfulness. Mercy and thankfulness. We see this in verse 13. It says, and he lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You have to understand that lepers were ostracized, helpless outcasts at the time of Jesus. Jews and Samaritans usually didn't live together, but misery loves company. As a matter of fact, Jews and Samaritans generally hated each other. And so it would take something as drastic and as horrific as this disease to bring them together. As a child, I thought leprosy, because it had to do with spots, had something to do with a leopard, but it doesn't. I just want you to know that if that's your frame of thinking. When the Bible talks about leprosy, it's talking about a variety of different skin diseases. It doesn't mean just one particular thing. It can mean this disease where you have just ulcerated growths all around you. And so they begin on parts of your body and they continue to grow and get worse and worse, and so much so that you can even have your very vocal cords ulcerated, and they get worse and worse and hurt and bring drastic pain and unhealthiness in your life. There's a type of skin that brings a disease that brings a numbness to the body where you can't feel pain, and so people inflict damage upon themselves. And when you would have these horrible ulcerations all over your body, they would begin to stink and smell and had a foul odor. And people who had leprosy would really die by inches. It was a terrible way to go. So the physical consequences of leprosy were drastic, as we just talked about. But the social consequences were as tough or tougher. When you got leprosy, or the diseases that we associate with leprosy, you were cut off from society. You were basically treated as dead. And so when you were becoming close to anybody, you had to wear this kind of tore up robe, and you would have to yell, unclean, unclean. And so people knew that they had to keep their distance from you, and you lived outside of town. You were a dead man walking in a very real sense. Imagine, if you will, getting this disease and seeing it appear on your body, and you knew instantly, no matter what your family was, that newborn baby that you had is gone out of your life. The beautiful wife and husband that you love, gone. Your friends, you don't get to spend time with them anymore. The temple worship that you love to go and worship God with your friends and family, you didn't get to do any of that anymore. Completely done with, completely over. 10 lepers saw Jesus at a distance and called out for him. They said, mercy, have mercy on us, Master. Now, Luke is the only one that ever calls Jesus Master, and he uses this word repeatedly in his gospel. But they called out for mercy. They knew it was their only chance for their incurable disease, their only chance for deliverance. You see, thankful people realize they need Jesus' mercy. Thankful people realize they need Jesus' mercy. See, Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You see, leprosy is a picture of sin in this passage and other passages in the Bible. They weren't just healed from their body, they were what? Cleansed. In this passage. Now, I'm not saying that just because they sinned that they had this, but it is a picture of what sin does to the heart. See, sin is like a disease that causes distance and hurt in relationships, just like this physical disease did. See, leprosy rotted the body, but sin rots the soul. Like lepers, we call out for God's mercy. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve, and grace is giving us what we don't deserve. You guys know that, right? And maybe people who hadn't heard that before, but new believers. So mercy, when the Bible talks about mercy, most of the time in Scripture, it's talking about not getting the wrath of God, not getting the punishment that you and I deserve. It doesn't always mean that, but it means that a lot of times. And grace means that you are getting things that you do not deserve. And the Bible says that God is rich in both of them. Amen? He's rich in mercy, and he's rich in grace, and I'll take them both. I don't deserve either one of them, but I'll take them. See, because of sin, the Bible says that man stands guilty and empty-handed before God. And so a person say, hey, I'm not bad of that bad of a person. I can clean myself up before God. It's just as silly as a leper with pus oozing out of his pores and saying, hey, my pus doesn't smell as much as yours. I've only lost 3 fingers, but you've lost 4. How ridiculous is that? Both of them, all 10 of those lepers, they needed God's mercy. Because of sin, we need God's mercy. See, God is abounding and rich in mercy, and he's willing to share. He doesn't just have it and hoards it, man. He's willing to give it to all who ask. The story of a guy that had his picture taken by a photographer. And he wasn't happy with it. He didn't like it, so he managed to track down the photographer. And he said, man, he said, this picture doesn't do me justice. The photographer said, sir, with a face like that, you don't need justice, you need mercy. I can relate. See, it's much easier to live thankfully when you understand your need for mercy. You understand, church? These lepers understood it. When we realize, yeah, we haven't been cleansed of the physical body necessarily, but we have been cleansed of the soul, how much more do we have to be grateful for? How much more do we have to be thankful for that God has taken our rotten, sin-sacked souls and has made us holy and right, made us children of God? That's something we're celebrating. That's something worth being thankful for. You don't have to manufacture that sort of thankfulness if you realize what God has saved you from. It's much easier to live thankfully when you understand your need for mercy. That's verse number 13. Look at verse 14. We see how obedience and thankfulness are connected. Look at verse 14. It says, when he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And right before they left, they were healed. Is that what it says in verse 14? You got your Bibles? You reading along with me? I was checking. That's not what it says. Right? Verse 14, it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. And as they went, meaning they weren't cleansed yet until they obeyed. Jesus' command, when cleansed in Bible's times, you were supposed to show yourselves to the priest. So they obeyed. They went to go to the priest, just like Jesus had told them to do. Now, this is not in the text, so this is just a sanctified imagination, so just bear with me. And maybe they thought, man, we could get in trouble, and they could. You had this horrific disease that you could get other people sick with this horrific disease. You weren't allowed to be around other people. And so maybe they thought, man, we're not even healed yet, and he wants us to go towards the temple. We get ourselves in big trouble. Or maybe they thought, man, maybe we're going to look like fools. Maybe we show up at a temple rotten and our fingers missing, saying that we're cleansed. We're going to look like fools. Maybe some of them said, man, it hurts to walk with all this pain, and it was a painful life that they lived. He said, man, they didn't heal. Jesus said, maybe they thought, oh, they didn't heal the other lepers that way. I know for, what's his name, that Jesus, healed him and touched him and he was healed instantaneously. That's not what happened to us. But however their thought process worked, all 10 of them obeyed. All of them went. They were cleansed. And it says, as they went, they trusted and obeyed. It's the common theme in Scripture that God calls us to a life of faith. He calls us to obey. He calls us to obey 100%. He calls us to obey when sometimes it doesn't look like obeying makes a lot of sense. As they went, they were healed. And he told the Israelites, I know the river's still there, but I want you to start walking, and then I'll move the water. Right? And God calls us to things all the time. He says, I'll move the water. I'll heal you. I'll do whatever I'm going to do when you do what you're supposed to do. You obey because God is the master, as Luke so clearly understood. As they went. And so while walking, they were healed. Now, I don't know if they were all healed simultaneously or one guy got healed and he's like, all right, what's happening? And so the other guys got healed along the way. But man, I could imagine how that trip might have been, man. And the closer they got to the temple, all 10 of the guys were healed. Maybe literally hands had healed again and fingers had grown back. Ulcerated sores began to disappear. Their vocal cords that had been strained and hurt began to be strong again. And maybe they began, whoo, man, jumping up and down and hugging one another. And they were smiling. And maybe the smiling didn't happen a lot in leper colonies. And hugging and shouting. That's what I picture happening. That's what I would have done. That's what you would have done. And so they went. As they went, they were healed. You see, thankful people obey Jesus. See, like physical healing, God's salvation restores and heals our souls. They didn't try to clean themselves up first. They believed, not just intellectually, but with obedient faith. They didn't just say, well, I believe that Jesus could do these things, but I'm just going to wait here until otherwise. No, they said, we believe and we act in faith. So obedience brings blessing and in turn brings joy and thankfulness. I like watching how parents and children, particularly how they look alike. It's kind of fun to watch, and I really like to watch it when they're a little bit older, when the kids have grown up and they're adults too, and it's funny. You can look like your parents whether you want to or not, and you look like your parents, and then you start getting sort of shaped like your parents after a while, but it's funny. So some people talk and they look, but one of my favorite things is to watch it, and it's just funny how God worked out genes and genetics and all that kind of stuff, and even sometimes people kind of start walking like their parents. Have you ever seen people who got the same walk as their parents? They just kind of shuffle the same way or swing their arms this way, and they walk as their parents walk. Friend, if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, we got to walk in obedience. If we want to look how our Father looks, we want to look how Jesus looked, we're going to do right. We're going to obey. Jesus always obeyed the Father. Perfectly so. And if we want to be like Jesus, we want to act like Jesus, then we obey. We obey when it's easy, we obey when it's hard, we obey when it's popular or when it's unpopular. We do right. We obey. See, trust and obey the Lord and you will experience joy that leads to thankfulness. Obedience and thankfulness go hand in hand. Look at verses 15 and 19. Praise and thankfulness go hand in hand. Look at verse 15. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Now it never says that the other 9 were Jews, but I think it's fair in this context of this book and this passage to make that assumption. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to turn and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." Out of the 10, only one leper returned. And he uses the word foreigner here. And maybe if you didn't understand this passage or you didn't understand Jesus, you could maybe even think it sounded like it was derogatory. But I don't think that's Jesus' point. I think Jesus' point is that out of all the other people, the other 9 being God's chosen people, surely they would have known how to be thankful, but they were not. Matter of fact, the word foreigner is the only time, this is the only time it's ever used here in the New Testament. It's the same word that when you went to the temple there in Jerusalem, and it had different segments for where people could go. You had people, a place where women could worship in the temple, and you had a place where Gentiles could worship, and you had a place where Jews could worship. And if a Gentile tried to go where the Jews could worship, you could be killed. And it had big warning signs with this same word for foreigner right there. Said, "You come in here, you will die." Not because God's going to kill them, because the Jews would kill you. That's the same word that Jesus uses here. And he said, "Look, nobody came back, but this foreigner did." I think Luke's point and Jesus' point was, Jesus is not simply the God of the Jewish people. Jesus isn't simply the Savior of Israel. He's not simply the Savior of America. He's not the white man's Savior or the black man's Savior. He is all people's Savior. He is the Savior of the world. His grace and His mercy extends to all people at all time. He loves all people, offers grace and mercy equally before the throne of God. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And so the Samaritan came back praising God and placed his faith in Jesus. And here's an important part of this passage I hope you don't miss. See, the other guys, they received cleansing. They were healed in their bodies. And man, what an amazing thing to praise God for. I mean, that by itself is worth writing a story about. But only one of them came back and had his soul cleansed. Only one of them came back in faith, singing praises to God and trusted Him as his Savior. One had his body saved, or most had their body saved. Only one had his soul saved. You see, thankful people praise Jesus. They praise Jesus. Thankful people take the opportunity to sing no matter what type of songs here on Sunday morning, and they praise Jesus. Because I don't care who Jesus, what kind of way I'm singing to Jesus, the truth about Jesus is the truth about Jesus. And I don't want to waste an opportunity to praise Jesus. See, praise involves thanking God for who He is and what He's done. Telling other people about that. Honoring His name. Honoring who He is. See, gratitude is what you feel. Thanksgiving is what you do. Gratitude is how you feel, and that's a good thing. But thanksgiving is not just how you feel. It's what you do. It's showing, it's living gratefully. Jesus asked, "Where are the 9? I think that's a fair question. I don't know. Bible doesn't say. I sort of can't blame them getting so excited. Maybe that little baby that they had and they got separated from, maybe they've been lepers for 10 years and ran back home and hugged and kissed their wives, and those are good things, but they robbed themselves of the blessing of knowing Jesus. You see, thankfulness protects us from selfishness, which harms you, harms other people. Thankfulness protects you from pride and self-sufficiency, which harms you and harms those around you. The Maasai tribe in West Africa, when they say thankful, they say thank you, they bow their head, they put their forehead on the ground, they say, "My head is in the dirt." Because they know that thankfulness and humility, that they go hand in hand. thankfulness and humility, that they go hand in hand. And look at verse 16, and we're getting close to done here. And the leper said, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, Carlos, I haven't warned Carlos about this, so Carlos is probably terrified right now. I would like you to come on stage with me for just a moment. You don't have to say one word. I just need you to come up on stage. You don't have to say a word. I would like you to share your testimony. Okay, go ahead. Come up here, Carlos. Looks good. Looks good on you. Okay. I just want you to stand right here. Okay. In verse 16, we read these things, but we don't see these things sometimes, right? Look what he said. Verse 16, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, normally when I see Carlos, I give him one of these. Sometimes I give him one of these. I like Carlos. That's as far as men usually take it. And that's good, right? But the leper, he fell down at Jesus' feet. And maybe he grabbed his feet. And he said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Look what I was. I can see. I have my fingers. I got my hand. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Now, that's not how I'm normally going to greet you on Sunday, so don't expect it. You can go sit down right now. Go sit down. Okay. But good job, Carlos. That was great. But I want you to understand, standing at someone's feet shows humility, shows vulnerability, shows weakness. It shows indignity. I don't want to do that most of the time. But this guy understood that humility and thankfulness, they go hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other. A prideful person who thinks he's done it all himself doesn't think he needs to thank God for something. But a humble person knows better. And I hope you guys get this. Y'all just bring it in. Come in close for just a couple more minutes and we're done. Verse 19, and he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. The gift is the giver. The gift is the giver. The gift is great. God's gifts come in many ways and many forms, don't they? We talked about great is thy faithfulness. Man, I can think of a lot of things that God's been faithful with in my life. And so can you. But the gift is God. The gift is Jesus. And out of 10 of them, one of them understood that. Out of all 10 of them, they robbed themselves of the giver because they were so infatuated with the gift. And if we're not careful, we can love God's blessings and forget to love God. The gift is the giver. See, troubles often draw us to God, but blessings can draw us away. Praise and thanksgiving of God's goodness go hand in hand. It's hard to be ungrateful when you praise, right? It's hard to praise God and be ungrateful. The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. See, thankfulness flows from the child of God. It flows from us. It's not something we have to manufacture every day. It's not something we have to work hard at it. If we understood who God is and what He's done in our lives, we can be thankful. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's Word. My friend, if you're not thankful, you are either forgetful or unaware. If you can't think of something to praise God about, you are forgetful or you unaware of what God has been doing in your life. It's easy to forget sometimes how good and how perfect and how faithful the Lord has been, is it not? It's easy to get there. It's easy to just like the things that He gives us and forget about worshiping and praising Him sometime. So make sure in this invitation time and regularly in your life that you spend time, that you're in the habit of thanking God, vocalizing that to God, who He is, His great and rich mercy that's been given to us. Tell somebody you're thankful. Tell somebody thank you. And I talk to believers all the time. I hear things at funerals all the time, how wonderful this person was, and maybe with a tear down their eyes, boy, I wish I'd told them. Well, you can't now. You can't tell that person in the coffin, thank you. It's over. Now you can tell them later on, they're believers and you're believers. So say it now. Do it now. That friend that means a lot to you, let them know that. That might be what they meant to hear that. That friend, that family member, that husband, that spouse that you love, and tell them thank you. Somebody helped you through a hard time, is helping you through a hard time, you tell them thank you. Don't wait till the funeral's here to say thank you. Say it now. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to not just feel thankful, but to act thankfully. I feel thankful all the time. That's a lot easier to do. But acting thankfully means telling people, showing mercy when you've been shown mercy, serving when you and acting out of that love and gratefulness. A million different ways that we can act thankful. Do it. Don't just get moved here in church, but act in thankfulness. As believers, we have nothing more to thank God for than His mercy and grace. Amen? There's nothing higher, there's nothing greater than the mercy and grace that He has shown us. That as sinners, we stood guilty before a holy God. We were deserving of His wrath. That you're deserving of His punishment. And maybe you're not as bad as a sinner as somebody else, but you're still a sinner and you're guilty before a holy God. But if you're willing to turn from your sin, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you can receive forgiveness, not just from the sins of the past, but sins of the future. Every aspect of your life is completely thrown under the blood of Jesus Christ from now until eternity. But you got to trust Jesus as your Savior. You can't be your own Savior. Jesus doesn't share room with you. It's either Him or nothing at all. I encourage you, brother and sister, friend, maybe I've never met you before, trust Jesus as your Savior. Do that today. When we stand and sing, come forward and talk with me. Talk with the prayer team up here and say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Don't leave here unsure of where you spend eternity. So let's pray. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. The service could go much longer reciting how faithful you've been in my life, how faithful you've been in the life of my brothers and sisters in this church. So thank you. Thank you for who you are, God. Thank you that you're good and kind and just and merciful. Thank you. Thank you for blessing in this church. Thank you for working in this church. Thank you. Help us to be a grateful, thankful people. Help it to flow out of us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.